back into the game here in Tuscaloosa on Tide 99.1 at Tide99.1.com, the home of Alabama sports. It's a Throwback Thursday presented by Brian Harden Construction right here in West Alabama. And we appreciate all the great guests that have joined us here to talk about the third Saturday in October. On the media side, I reached out to an old friend of mine. He's a longtime columnist there in the great state of Tennessee. He still does it really the old-fashioned way, delivers a lot of the hard truth there for the Tennessee Volunteers, and I read his column quite often, and it's many times I use a lot of the nuggets here. But I welcome in Mr. Bob Gilbert into the game in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Doing well, thank you.
Well, this third Saturday in October, let me go back, and for someone that graduated at Tennessee, you understand the significance of this game. It means a lot to both fan bases.
Yeah, it really does. It goes back to the days of Wallace Wade and Frank Thomas and Bob Neyland. And it is sort of the game that has set the tone of the season for both those schools until recently. Of course, Tennessee's been down for about 5 or 6, 7 years, and it's not much of a rivalry at the moment.
Let me go back. Is there a game that you were involved with, you worked for the athletic department, you was Associated Press. Was there a game that sticks out to you that was a great memory?
Well, I guess the one that stands out above all, and there were some great ones involving Auburn and Alabama and North Carolina and Duke, but the one that stands out in my memory was in 1959, the year after LSU had won the national championship. And Tennessee and LSU are playing in Knoxville. The final score was 14-13. Ole Miss had scored the last touchdown. And Paul Dietzel, their head coach, elected to go for two in the victory instead of settling for a tie. In those days, there was no overtime. And Billy Cannon was called on to make an off-tackle play. He says he made it. The Tennessee defenders say he didn't. The officials agreed with Tennessee, and the Vols won 14-13 with that tremendous, memorable goal line stand.
Right now we're talking with Bob Gilbert inside the game as we wrap up the final few minutes here as we continue our conversation talking about the third Saturday in October. I go back to maybe a little bit of an evaluation of Butch Jones and where he's got the program currently.
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. It is a mess up here. Tennessee has lost 7 games per season for 5 of the past 6 years. And I don't see the program getting any better. I've been doing a piece for later today on comparing Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss, and Butch Jones at Tennessee. They've got comparable backgrounds. They played small college football. They coached in Division III. Several of them coached in high school. But it begins to break down. The similarity begins to break down there. You look at their salaries. All 3 of them are being paid right at $3 million a year. With a writer on I believe it's Hugh Freeze's contract, he gets a $150,000 increase every year. But they're right at $3 million. And yet, Mississippi State and Ole Miss are undefeated, ranked number 1 and 3 in the nation. And Butch Jones has not earned a penny of his salary yet. He's still in the losing column. And, you know, he's in danger of presiding over the first 8-loss season in University of Tennessee history. That doesn't speak very well of his accomplishment here since he's been here at UT, and this is his second year.
And I want to throw gas on the fire, but the Eastern side, it seems like it's a more winnable side than, as you mentioned, Mississippi State and Ole Miss on the Western side. So that, not trying to add fuel to the fire, but that doesn't hold very well for Butch Jones if he's not able to do it right now, because you expect that East to even get stronger in the coming years.
Yeah, and that's part of the equation that's weighing so heavily on the Florida situation with Will Muschamp. He's really on the hot seat over there because there's some games on their schedule he should have already won, but he's lost. And, you know, there are mitigating circumstances in every situation, but I just don't know if Butch can, I mean, if Will Muschamp can hang on. And I'm not sure that, you know, over a period of, say, 3 years, I'm not sure Butch Jones will be here that long.
I want to go back. A lot of anticipation in the Knoxville area. It's been a major conversation here. I can assume that it's also been there as well. Lane Kiffin, return to Knoxville. Sort of walk me through the way that you think he will be embraced Saturday evening inside Neyland Stadium.
You know, I have no idea, but I, as a graduate of the University of Tennessee, and I worked there for 30 years, I hope UT fans at the game Saturday behave themselves and treat Lane Kiffin like they would any other visiting coach. I didn't like it personally when he pulled up stakes at midnight one night and fled Knoxville to go to Southern Cal. But that aside, he did what he thought he had to do for his family, for him and his career. And he made that choice, and as it turned out, it wasn't a very good one because he got fired at Southern Cal. But he's entitled to more respect than that. And the University of Tennessee is entitled to a better image than that kind of behavior will force upon them. I know a couple of 3 weeks ago, the student section at Neyland Stadium began a chant, the F-word deal, referring to Florida. It was very untimely, unseemly, and I thought a smear on the university's reputation. Tennessee's better than that. Most Southeastern Conference schools, if not all, are better than that. And the fans need to wake up and begin to treat at least the players and the coaches with more respect and greater aplomb than they're getting now.
You're close to that program. You've covered it. As you mentioned, you're an alum there at the University of Tennessee. I'm not trying to give an excuse or rebuttal why Lane Kiffin left, but if you know what you know, and you have written about it for many, many years about inside that Tennessee program, is there any chance that Lane Kiffin saw some of that and said, you know what, I need to get out of town because what's happening here is not something I want to be a part of?
Well, I don't know what was going through Lane's mind during that year. He certainly understood the fickle nature of the Tennessee Vol fan. And they're like everybody else. They want instant gratification. They want to have a big winner and have it now. They're unwilling to wait. His personality, I think, rubbed some people in Knoxville the wrong way. He was seen sort of as a West Coast playboy who was all glitz and glamour and perhaps not as much substance as they would have liked. But, you know, it's not hard to understand when things are going wrong. You may not know why, but you can sense when things are not going right in a university administration. And it was pretty evident to a lot of us that UT was in trouble back in the, you know, in the mid-2000s, early 2000s. The constant turnover of administrators at the highest level of the university, terrible decisions made by the athletics department, by the athletics director, which was given a free pass by the board of directors. I thought the board at one time was the worst I have ever seen at the university, and I worked with a bunch of them over 30 years. It's just a bad situation, and no university can, you know, long survive that kind of internal turmoil.
Right now we're talking with Bob Kielbert, longtime columnist in the great state of Tennessee, as we talk about the third Saturday in October, now hours away. I want to switch gears and go away from Alabama and Tennessee for a couple of minutes, because you've always been a guy that sometimes you have to write stories that are harder, and certainly we need that in journalism as media there to keep a lot of folks honest. The academic situation at UNC has been a major topic of conversation this week in our business. Your thoughts about the UNC academic misconduct?
Well, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for the University of North Carolina, and I think for higher education in general. And, if you've been reading some of my stuff over the years, I think money has become the biggest enemy of higher education. People out there in the public, the football fans, they don't care about academic integrity. All they care about is the W column in football and basketball. And they're willing to accept any deviations, any criminal activity. They're willing to accept cheaters. And that's exactly what North Carolina has been doing for the past 12, 15 years. They have been cheating academically. They have had people over there in the athletics department who were academic advisors to the players who have steered them into bogus courses with suggestions on what their grades had to be in the coming semester so that they would stay eligible in their respective sports. That's criminal. And I don't know whether I've said it yet on paper or not, but I'm getting ready to. What has gone on at the University of North Carolina is justification to shut down that athletic department entirely. Shut it down. And any time it happens anywhere else, it ought to be shut down. Now, I hate for the young kids who are hoping to get a career out of football or basketball or establish big careers in business, and you can use football as a springboard. I hate for them to be tarnished by all this and hurt by it. But something's got to be done with this win-at-all-cost mentality that has swept higher education across America. And I think UT's athletics department should have been shut down 15 years ago. And I hope if it ever occurs again there, that it will be shut down. Now, will it? No, it will not. People want to see their team win, and they're willing to do anything, including cheating, to get it done.
It's too much.
That's true at Alabama. It's true at Auburn. It's true at Ole Miss. It's true everywhere.
It's too much money involved in the game, and I didn't realize when coaches started receiving this type of money and the revenue that was generated around the athletic departments that it was going to create this big of a crisis in college football. But as we move forward, something has got to be done about even the off-the-field issues. Those are embarrassing for the alums of different programs, the fan bases, the student body of different fan bases. What is going on off the field is almost as an embarrassing. We see it every day in the headlines where a football player has an off-the-field issue, and those things are also being ignored, and it's one reason. It's the dollar bill.
Yeah, you're right. And, people sometimes, critics of mine, will say, well, it's always been this way. Why are you writing about it now? No, it hadn't always been this way. Back before my time, in the time of Wallace Wade and Frank Thomas at Alabama and Bob Nealon at Tennessee, kids went to those schools to play football to get an education. There weren't all these big NFL dollars waiting for them out there. But they went to get an education, and football was the path to that. Now, as you say, it's all about money. And I can tell you, I was at the University of Tennessee in the early 50s, and it was not like that then. The guys that were on the teams that were close to me were there for the education and grateful to get it. It's not that way now. They signed that letter of intent to University A or University B, and they see that as a fast track to these multi-million dollar NFL and NBA contracts. And what they don't realize is that that's fantasy. Very few of them, less than 2%, are ever going to get that kind of money, and they don't know it. And they're conned and lied to by the coaches and recruiters who sign them up.
Bob, Bob Gilbert, is our final couple of seconds here. I always want to thank you for being a part of my show. I've always enjoyed following your career. Somebody that I've looked up to is being honest in journalism, and sometimes you got to say the tough things. I appreciate you helping me break down the third Saturday in October. It means a lot to both fan bases. Hopefully it's a great game on Saturday evening.
Well, I appreciate that. You guys have been awfully nice to me, and I'm glad to help you any time I can.
Absolutely. Bob Gilbert, a longtime columnist there in the state of Tennessee, helping us out as we close down this edition of the game. It was a Throwback Thursday presented by Brian Harden Construction here in West Alabama.